don't live by our feelings. We live by his word. Amen. We live by his word. So having said that, that's the reason it's important to feed on the word of God. Now, comparing natural things to spiritual things, how many of you, and I'm making a point here, how many of you had breakfast alone? You was the only one there. Anybody? All right, my sister-in-law, brother back here, Shalon again. A few of you ate by yourself. All righty. Now, over here. So that means the rest of you that ate, you had somebody sitting there with you while you were eating, right? Amen. So same with the word of God. There comes a time when we feed on the word of God while we're by ourselves. That's our own private time of studying the word and, and hearing from God and just feeding on the word of God. Amen. But if I can use this terminology, right now we have all gathered together in the restaurant. Why? To feed on the word of God. Amen. This facility is a place of assembly. Assembly for what? The word of God and the things of God. Amen. Praise God. So it's not about our emotions. It's not about what we want or don't want. No, it's about what God wants. Can I get another amen on that? Amen. Now, let me ask this question. Well, let me pray first. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here. Father, I pray that they will have ears to hear. I pray that they will have a heart to receive the living word of God. And I pray, Father God, that their lives will be changed as they receive the word of God. And I thank you, Father God, for your anointing and your call upon me to minister this word. Hallelujah. I understand that I can do nothing by myself, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, I can do what you've called me to do, because I'm not resting in my abilities, but in your abilities. And Father, we will all give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All righty, in the day and time that we're living in now, how many of you, well, not just today, it should have been yesterday and certainly should be tomorrow, but God's people need to have a winner's attitude. Amen. 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 A winner's attitude. Got too many now with a loser's attitude. Every day they're looking for ways to lose. But we should have a winner's attitude. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians the third chapter. Hallelujah. Philippians the third chapter. Hallelujah. In Philippians the third chapter, I want to read just one verse, at least for now. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. But listen at what he says in verse 14. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. And I think that originally the King James Version, I'm reading from the New King James, but the King James Version say the high call, am I right? And yeah, amen. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says here. He says, I'm pressing. I am pressing. If you are a winner and if you have a winner's attitude, you will be willing to press forward. You hear me? If you have a winning attitude or a winner's attitude, you will be willing to press forward. You will not quit. You will not stop. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Hallelujah. We have too many opportunities to give up, to quit on God, to quit on life, simply because things are not going the way we thought they were. And if I ask for a show of hands, I believe it'd be quite a few. I'm not going to. But you thought by now you would be at a certain point in life, or you will have accomplished a certain thing in your life, and when you look back over your life, you become disappointed in what you see. And you say, well, you know, I wish I had done this, and I wish I had done that, and I wish. Let me caution you right here. Let's make a decision right now, today, this hour, this minute, this second, that you are no longer going to live in the past. Amen. Amen. I believe all of us, if we would sit and talk about it, all of us, I know I could say, man, I wish I had done this, I wish I had changed this, I wish I had made that decision, this decision, whatever. But you know what? Yesterday's gone. You hear me? Yesterday's gone. But I want you to understand something. We just sing the song about Jesus being in our future. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. So whatever I lost in the past, I'm going to put that under the blood. Same principle. What do you do when you sin? We shouldn't intentionally sin, but we've all sinned. Am I right? Anybody in here never sinned? Well, if you raise your hand, I know you just sinned by raising your hand. Amen. But here's the good thing about that. We can go to Jesus, repent of our sins, and he will forgive us of our sins, right? Amen. And then he lets us know, you put that under the blood. I got that covered. So don't walk around every day talking about how much you regret this and you regret that and doing this and doing that. You just put it under the blood. You just gave it to me. Well, the same principle would apply in other areas of life where we just made the wrong decision. Not necessarily something sinful, but we just made the wrong decision. And maybe we lost as a result. Maybe we lost money as a result. But a winner says, I'm moving forward and I'm going to win. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 3, I'm just trying to decide where I want to pick this up. I'll just pick it up at verse 12. He says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I do what? I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. You see that? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Because when you hold on to your failures of the past, it's going to hinder your progress. We used to sing a song years and years and years ago. I guess the group must have forgot it, must have forgot the words to it. They don't sing it anymore. They don't put it on the list. But matter of fact, I think Barbara used to, it might be one of Barbara's old songs. But I go get rid of those heavy, shake off those heavy band. Somebody, you know what the word? Who remember the word? You remember your words, Barbara? Say it loud so everybody can hear you. Amen. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up your holy hands and let all of God's children praise the Lord. Amen. You got to shake them off. You got to do like the Apostle Paul says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. I'm forgetting those things that did not glorify Christ, or mistakes that I made. And if you read any, it's in the Word of God concerning Paul's history. You know, he wasn't always Paul. He used to be Saul. And he was a bad dude. You hear me? He was a bad fella. But guess what? Bad people can find Jesus. Quote, unquote, good for nothings in the sight of man anyway can find Jesus. And Jesus will change your life. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm forgetting that stuff. That stuff didn't glorify God. That stuff glorified me. That stuff built me up. It didn't glorify God. He said, I'm pressing forward for the upward call of God. That's what a winner, that's what they do. Now, maybe you have. But I've watched some sports, and I've watched runners. But you know, I don't remember seeing any when they are totally focused on winning this race, turning around, running backwards to see how close the other competitors are. No, they're totally focused on winning the race. Amen. As a matter of fact, this same Paul, upstairs, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 9, 26. This is what he says. 1 Corinthians 9, 26. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 9:26. Listen at what he said. He said, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. In other words, man, I know why I'm running. I know why I'm running this race. He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air. In other words, he was saying, I'm not shadow boxing. When you're shadow boxing, you just burn up a bunch of energy. Paul was saying, when I fight, I make contact. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, he had a winner's attitude. He had a winner's attitude. You don't have to respond to this question, but I want to provoke you to think, do you have a winner's attitude? Or are you one of those that's looking for someone that will sit down with you and listen to all your sob stories? You're not looking for any solution. It's all right to share with people when you're looking for answers, but some people just want to, all they want to do is talk about their problems. That's what they live for. Talk about how hard things are. You're not going to win that way. You're still here. Glory to God. And our goal is to win in life. Now, let's look at two or three hindrances. To win it. One of them is people. People. I want to help you with something. We are told to love everybody. Aren't we? We're told over and over and over. We're told to love everybody, and then we're told to especially love those that are of the household of faith. But if you're going to live a life of faith, and if you're going to be a winner in life, you can't listen to everybody. You can't take everybody's advice. You can't listen to everybody's opinion. Well, you know, brother, you know, sister, this is what I think you ought to do. This is what I think you ought to do. You know, this is, you know, and it is constantly trying to tell you what you ought to do when what they're telling you is going contrary to what the Bible says. You still here? Yeah. And so you know what? Sometimes it's people that's close to us. Can I tell you something here? Just in case you don't know. People close to you can be wrong. People you love can be wrong. That's the reason we've got to stay in the Word of God. That's the reason we got to spend time with God. We got to know what the Bible says. That's the reason in Ephesians chapter 1, and I think Ephesians chapter 3, if I'm not mistaken, and I think Colossians chapter 1, and there are other places too where the Apostle Paul prayed for the church. And one of the things he prayed for all the time was that God would give them a spirit of wisdom. Amen. I want the wisdom of God. I've made enough bad decisions in my life. Amen. I'm here to win, not lose. I don't want to have to stand before God one day and you know, I'm going to preach on this sometime. Not today, but I will say this much. I want God to say to me, and I know you feel the same way I do, when I stand before him, I want him to say to me, well done, thou, number one, good, not no good, but good. Well done, thy good, and number two, faithful servant. That's what I want. That's what I want him to say. I don't want to stand before him and say, Lord, whew, I barely got in, but I'm glad I'm here. No, I want him to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Amen. We'll talk more about that at another time. So we can be hindered by people. Number two, we can be hindered by the forces of darkness. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. I won't read the whole thing, but I want to read two verses to you. It says, this is verse 13, Ephesians chapter 6. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14 says, stand, therefore. And then it goes on to tell you why we should stand. But let's back up to verse 12. No, verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against who? Or what? The wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the deceptions of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. All of those are devils, demons. They don't want you to win. They want you to be a loser. But you got to know how to resist them. Any promise that God gives you, you need to put your foot down and say, God promised me this. This belongs to me. And I will not allow any demon to steal it from me. It's mine. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. So we can be hindered by people. We can be hindered by the forces of darkness. Number three, we can be distracted. Especially with our present circumstances. We're hearing about this war over in Ukraine. And not just there, all around this earth, there are things going on. And I read in the news yesterday, they even talking about nukes. That's serious stuff, folks. But you know what? We can't let that stop us. We can't let that stop us. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, I'll just pick it up at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Oh, man, some people are so gullible. Now look at verse 6. And you will hear of wars. Now, this is Jesus talking. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. What does it say after? What does he say after that? See that you are not troubled. Why, Jesus? For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Look at verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Jesus already told us what's going to happen. Another place Jesus said, men's hearts failing them because of fear of what they see going on the earth. Let me tell you something. Whatever you do, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on the Word. It's the Word of God that it's our stabilizer. It's our stabilizer. Do you hear me? Folk with panic, yelling, screaming, all sorts of crazy stuff. We need to be doing this. We need to be doing that. Blah, 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 blah. But what does the Word say? I can tell you one thing it says, and oh, I'm glad about it, and I told you this before, and I'll tell you again. You'll probably hear it again in the future. Because I have a habit of repeating things. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, 4th chapter, not Ephesians, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, said that one day Jesus is coming back in the cloud. And it says that those that have died is coming back with him. Mildred, Mama Mabel will be with him. My mama, my dad, many other loved ones coming back with him. They're coming back to get their bodies. Which is coming back together again. But this time it won't be an earthen body. You hear me? This time it won't be an earthen body. This time it will be a supernatural body. Because listen what it says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Some people get confused on that because I've heard the question asked, how can the dead rise if they're already with Jesus? Their bodies rising and their spirits and their soul going to make contact with this immortal body and they will live forever. That body will never get sick. Hallelujah. But then, listen what else it says. Then those of us that's on the earth shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I want you to think about something. I've brought this to your attention before. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we're hearing about wars and rumors of wars, and folks are dying and so forth. Now, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, we hear about them all. But the day that Jesus Christ returns, there's going to be believers still on the earth. Y'all listening to me? The church will not have been annihilated. The gates of hell will not have prevailed against the church. Are y'all listening to me? Glory to God. Let me tell you, the church ain't going nowhere. The church has been planted here by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, just like Paul said in Timothy, there are going to be some that depart from the faith. But I'm here to tell you, not everybody's departing. I'm, for one, I'm not departing. How about you? Now, we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming, but we can watch the signs of the time. So we don't know exactly when he's coming, but I believe with all my heart it is soon. Matter of fact, I believe it's very soon. But here's the good thing. When he comes back to the earth, his people will still be here. And he's going to catch them up in the clouds to be with him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. Because, you know, we have too many doomsday prophets. There's somebody, some years ago, I don't remember who it was right now, because our young people used to sing it. I don't even know the name of the song, but one of the things they would say, Rose, you might remember it, we are the church, we ain't going nowhere. You remember that song? I don't know the title to it, but that's the truth. We're the church, we ain't going nowhere. We're going to be right here when Jesus comes. Now, yes, we have many, many of God's people that are suffering today. And they are being persecuted because of their faith. But here's what the devil don't understand. When you start persecuting Christians because of their faith, they just get stronger. They just get stronger. They just get stronger. You're just playing right into the devil's hand. The devil's playing right into God's hand, I should say. We just get stronger. Glory to God. Because God has called us to be winners. Am I right?
Yeah.
Amen. So don't get so caught up on what's going on in this world that you take your eyes off of God, that you take your eyes off of the Word of God. And you know, you need to pray. You need to pray. And I'm not saying don't watch the news. I'm not saying that at all. But I tell you what, you need to pray about how much you watch. Because if it's stealing your faith, you need to stop watching it and go to your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, folks, I got so much more I want to tell you. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians. The fourth chapter. Second Corinthians, fourth chapter. I'm going to read to you Let me see where I want to begin. I'll just pick it up at verse 8. It says, and again, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. These are the words of a winner. I have a question for you. Are you hard pressed right now? Does it seem like things are just pressing in on you? Were you in good company? Because the Apostle Paul said he was hard pressed. But you know what he said? He was not crushed. He was not distressed. He said, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. I'm going to finish that. But let me say something to you. This is what we must do. When we're troubled, that's on the outside. But what we must make sure we don't let happen is don't let it get on the inside. You hear? You listening to me? Listen to what he says. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're not crushed. We're not panicking, throwing in the towels. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, Lord, why have thou forsaken me? No, that's not what he's. He said, we're not crushed. We're not distressed over this. We're not going to let it get on the inside of us. He proved it when he was sitting in jail at midnight singing and praising God. He says, this again is verse 8, perplexed, but not in despair. You ever been in a place you just don't know what to do? You don't know what direction to go? You don't know if you need to move, sit still. You don't know what you need to do. But the Apostle Paul says, we've been there, but we are not in despair. One translation says it this way, and I like this. It says, at times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. I don't know what to do right now, but I tell you one thing I am going to do, not quit. I will stay in his word. I'll stay in his presence. I'll pray in the spirit. And he's going to give me an answer. Hallelujah. Do you feel like you're on a ship? In a storm like Paul was, he didn't panic. But at the right time, an angel appeared to him and told him, said, Paul, not one life will be lost. Don't lose the ship, but not one life will be lost. Now here, I tell you what, I don't care who you are. It's good to have a man of God or a woman of God in your midst. You may not like what they're saying. Every time they open their mouth, you might get under conviction. But I'm going to tell you something. When it comes time to hear from God, you need a man or a woman of God in your presence. Paul told those guys, come on, calm down, fellas. Not one of us will be lost. Because I had a visitation. Hallelujah. When troubles are all around, God does not get excited. God doesn't throw up his hands. What am I going to do? How am I going to save my people? God always has a way out. Right now, and I'm going to be closing here shortly. I don't have my watch on, but I'm going to close here shortly. But I want to think about something right now that you are dealing with. Don't say it out loud, but just think about something. Now, I want you to say this out loud. God always has a way out. Problem, though, with us, sometimes we just don't want to sacrifice the time to spend with him. Amen. And God's attitude is, I'm waiting on you. Let's us get together. And he went on to say in verse 9, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but what? That's the attitude of a winner. I said that's the attitude of a winner. He had to deal with this stuff on the outside, but he never let it get on the inside. He never let it get on the inside. Let's have the attitude of a winner, a winner's attitude. Regardless of what you're facing at any given moment, you are a winner. Why don't you go ahead and tell yourself, I am a winner. Come on, say it again. Through Christ Jesus, I'm a winner. Through Christ Jesus, I'm winning. Hallelujah. Even when it looks like I'm not, I am still winning. Because I trust his word. Bless the name of the Lord. I said, bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word that will never ever, Lord, return to you void. It will never ever, Lord, return to you with a lack of power. But I'm